my own portrait on screen, and we're talking today about the danger. Can you see the similarities? The danger, we both got 2 feet. The danger of losing heart. The danger of losing heart. Our vision as a church is very simple. We are here to do 3 things. There are three things we're here to focus on. We're here to reach the lost, make disciples, and build the church. Reach the lost, make disciples, and build the church. And as far as I'm concerned, as the lead pastor of the church, failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. We've got to reach people. That's what we're here to do, to reach people. You know, the reality is, whatever your vision is, whatever your personal mission is, whatever your goal or dream is, whatever you're aiming for in life, you're going to have to combat, you're going to have to do some warfare, you're going to have to fight all of the enemies of life that come against us. All of the enemies of life that come against us. And the issue with enemies is this, is the enemy doesn't always present as an enemy. Doesn't always present as an enemy. The enemy has all kinds of disguises, and life throws enemies at us. Enemies like issues and anyone got issues? We all have issues and circumstances. Keep that one low. Circumstances and life that just happens with a sense of it's relentless. It just wears us out. Issues that confront us on a daily basis, and it's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to lose heart because of the circumstances and situations of life. No matter what's going on, here's the truth. You've got to keep going. No matter what's going on, you've got to keep going. Failure is not an option. We have a mission as a church. We have a mission as individuals. We have dreams. We have hopes. We have desires. We have things we want to achieve. Now, here's the deal with our mission. These are the rules of engagement. You have an enemy, I have an enemy, we have an enemy that wants to destroy us. The Bible says he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he uses people, he uses issues, he uses circumstances, situations, trouble, and fear to cause us, to try to cause us and make us lose heart. I'm here today to encourage you not to lose heart. I'm here today to encourage you to have your heart strengthened in God so that you can stand as a warrior equipped, my warrior disappeared, as a warrior equipped, ready to do battle and fulfill the mission. I want to tell you a story today, which is a story that reflects how important it is to actually fulfill the mission and how precarious it is to be a person of mission. How precarious it is to try and achieve the mission. There's a training center in the United States of America in Orlando, Florida, where they train athletes and specialists and leaders and business people go there for some training and camaraderie and team events. And they had 4 men from the National Football League, from Gridiron, that version of football. They had them at this center training them in some leadership skills and leadership development. Now, these men are not average men in terms of stature. They are men that we would go, wow, they're huge men. They are monster men. The average size is 6'4" and 136 kilograms. So big boys. And one of them was 159 kilograms and 6'7". And they asked him, when you see your enemy coming, your opposition coming at you on the gridiron field, what kind of attitude do you feel rising up inside of you? And he said this, when I see them, I say to myself, I'm going to fold him in half. And so these are men that are used to the battle. These are men that are used to passionate aggression against their opposition. And they told these 4 monster men from the NFL that they had a mission for them. They said, out the back, we've got a wilderness trail out the back of this center. There's a wilderness trail that you're going to go on, and you're going to go on a run. The run will take 18 minutes for you to run this trail. At the 1 mile mark, there's a white marker, a white fence. Your mission is to run to the white fence, touch it, and return back to the center. It'll take you 9 minutes to run there. It'll take you 9 minutes to run back. a total of 18 minutes. They said, is that all we have to do? Just run and touch the white fence. I said, yes, that's all you have to do, is run and touch the white fence and return. So they're putting on their running shoes, saying to each other, how easy is this? We are going to take care of this thing in no time at all. And then they said, here are the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement are, gentlemen, you're going to be running through a swamp. There are canals that run by the trail. Alligator migrate in the swamps. Keep your eyes open. The weather's hot. It's sunny outside. There's poisonous snakes sunning themselves on the trail. They won't bother you. If you see a snake wound up, just run around it. So stopwatches were ready. They're about to start. And then the starter said, oh, guys, I'm sorry. One more thing I meant to tell you. Last night, we saw wild boar on the trail. These wild boar, they are bigger than you are. They have razor-sharp tusks. They will attack you unprovoked. If you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action. Above everything else, though, you must complete the mission, touch the white fence. Are you ready, set, go? Now get this mental picture. At the white fence, there's a bush. Two of the training staff are hiding in the bushes. One of them is a cameraman. They're waiting for the four monster men who are running down the track very nervously. As they almost approach the white fence and almost complete the mission, one of the team members who was hiding in the bush grabs the bushes and shakes the bush and goes, the two men, these men who were 137 kilos on average and 6 foot something, terrified, failed to touch the white fence, turned around in panic and ran back to the center. They got back to the center. The training leader said, did you complete the mission? They said, no. He said, why not? They said, we heard something. He said, what do you mean you heard something? We heard something in the bushes that snorted and the bushes were shaking. Can I suggest to every one of us today that this is what happens to human beings. This is what happens to human beings when they're faced with an issue, a circumstance, a situation, a storm, something that happens out of the blue that you do not expect. It's like someone hiding in the bushes, shaking the bushes and snorting at us, and we panic and we run because we heard something. When I was a child, we used to have a toilet down the back of the yard. Any of you remember the good old days when toilets were not in houses? I'm talking old days. Toilet down the back of the yard. No lights. There's no electricity in the back of the yard those days. You had to walk down the back of the yard. How many of you can remember being terrified, sitting down there on the toilet, noises that you would hear, a brother or a sister banging on the side of the toilet, this is what happens in life, and we get terrified. It's normal human behavior. We get terrified and our mission gets hijacked and we lose heart when we don't understand what's in the bushes. And when we're not trained to deal with what's in the bushes. The next week, they did the test again. This time, they did the test with four elite members from the FBI SWAT program. These men were trained to take care of any circumstance and any situation and to not fear. The mission was, once again, touch the white fence. Failure is not an option. You've got 18 minutes, 9 minutes to run out, touch that fence and return. Watch out for alligator. Watch out for poisonous snakes. Watch out for the wild boar that we saw last night. If you encounter wild boar, here's the instructions. Take appropriate action. Above all else, you must complete the mission. The mission cannot fail. They took off. Same two members hiding in the bushes, ready to shake those bushes and to film the response of these elite trained FBI men. They grabbed the bush as they approached the white fence. They snorted, making out like they were the wild boar. The FBI pulled their guns. Bang! The cameraman yells out, why did they bring their guns? Why? Because they were trained to take appropriate action. Can I suggest to you We need to be like the... don't carry guns. I didn't say that. But be ready to take appropriate action. Be trained to take appropriate action to the issues of life that are going to come your way. Because I think there's a lot of wild boar out there shaking bushes. And it's not wild boar, it's just somebody in the bushes making a little bit of noise. And we get scared, we get frightened, we get panicked, we run. And we fail our mission. Not just our church mission, our personal mission, our dreams, our desires, our plans, they come under attack. I want to consider today some thoughts on things that cause people to lose heart. Three things that cause people to lose heart. Then next week we're going to talk about strengthening our hearts. We lose heart when we're influenced by the negative perceptions of other people. We lose heart when we're influenced by the negative perceptions of other people. In the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Chapter 1, verse 28, Moses is reminding the children of Israel about the law. This is after they had gone in and spied out the promised land and come back and panicked because a wild boar was in the bushes shaking the trees, and they come back and said, we can't do it, and they failed their mission. Moses reminds them, and he said, this is what the people are saying. He said, this is what you said. You said, where can we go? Our brothers, notice this, our brothers have made us lose heart. They say that the people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are large with walls that go all the way up to the sky. Our brothers have made us lose heart. He says, they say. You know, brothers can make you lose heart. Brothers and sisters, not natural, spiritual, can make you lose heart. Sometimes the people you walk with, the people you talk with, the people you associate with can make you lose heart. The truth is, if we associate with people of a different perception, it affects our heart. It affects our heart when we associate with people of a different perception. Instead of feeling encouraged and inspired, instead of having our faith lifted, what happens is our heart gets affected, and our heart can get discouraged and derailed and detoured because of the heart of another person. And rather than the promises of God singing bigger and bigger, what happens is our fears and our weaknesses and our enemy becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and we live with fear. This is what they said. The people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are large with walls that go all the way up to the sky. Really? All the way to the sky? You ever notice how people lose perspective when their perception is negative? Their walls go all the way to the sky. You know, ancient civilization did some pretty amazing things, but I'm pretty sure they never built walls that went all the way to the sky. From the perspective of those that were feeling small, it may have been all the way to the sky, but it wasn't really all the way to the sky. It was an exaggeration, was what it was. Here's the truth. Not all brothers have a positive perception. And we all need to understand this. Not all our brothers have a positive perception. So make sure the brothers you hang with do have a positive perception that will not affect your heart in the negative or the neutral, but that will inspire you to be better and live better and be bigger and to live bigger. Don't ever focus on what they say. Who are they anyway? I love it when people say, they say. Well, who are they? Who are the experts? The experts that say these things. And you never want to get caught up with what they say. Well, what somebody else is saying negatively to you. And you've always got to ask yourself this question: who are they in my life? Who are they in my life that I'm going to give power to their negativity to affect my mission and my journey? And so be careful where your perspective comes from, because you're never going to move forward in life. You're never going to break through to the promises of God and achieve what God wants you to achieve if you allow yourself to be manipulated by the negative perceptions of sometimes our brothers, because we lose heart when we give way to that. So we lose heart when we're influenced by the negative perceptions of others. Secondly, we lose heart. We lose heart when we're overwhelmed by the circumstances that have conspired against us. We lose heart when circumstances that have conspired against us. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like circumstances conspire themselves against me all the time. All the time. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by life when things happen, when circumstances conspire against us, and we feel under relentless attack. Under relentless attack where everything goes wrong, that could go wrong, and it's just one thing after another. The Bible talks about this and says, hope deferred makes your heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. I often see people's hearts get sick, and I had a message sent to me last night of a guy I've been building a relationship with for about 6 months and talking to about church and about God and about hope and about life. He's 44 years of age. He's a multi-millionaire businessman on the Sunshine Coast. Came to our cafe one day, and he walked in and he said to Pastor Darrell, who was Barista Darrell at that moment, and said, who's pastor here? I'd like to meet who the pastor is. And I was walking past at the moment, and I said, I am. Who are you? And shook his hand and met him and said hello. And his name is Damien, and we had a bit of a chat. And then he wanted to come back and see me, so he came back to see me, and we've been in communication and came back to see me again and have lunch and everything. And he's a nice guy, going through a divorce, three young kids, dealing with depression. And I got a message last night from his dad, just as I was going into bed, to say that he took his own life yesterday. And I think, God, it's so sad to see people get to that point of just giving up when stuff has conspired against them. And so I said to our leaders this morning that are serving today in the little circle when we gather before we do church, I told them that event, and I said to them, just be aware that when people come into your space, they're coming into your space for a good reason. And this whole deal about reaching out to people next year, that's what it's all about for the Damians of this world. Because they got enemies shaking trees that they think are wild boar. And it's just someone shaking a tree. That's all it is. And what we want to do is shine the light on who's shaking the tree and show them how they can be free in Jesus' name through the relationships that we build with people. So pray some prayers for Damien's family. His mum goes to church at Runcorn, and nice people. I'm just praying God will help them at the moment. It's easy to lose heart. It's easy to get to that point. It's easy when everything seems against you. Can I encourage every person in the room not to allow circumstances that conspire against you to allow your mind to get to a point like that? David faced Goliath, and we're told about the story. We know the story well, the story of David and Goliath. David overcome Goliath because when he faced Goliath, he actually faced the answer. He didn't face the problem. And herein lies the great skill of life to overcome every challenge and every difficulty, is not to face your problem, but to face the answer. I.e., get your eyes on God, get your eyes on Jesus, and get your eyes off the circumstance and eyes off the problem. It says that David said to Saul when he faced Goliath, let no one, note these words, no one lose heart. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And so then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, like the NFL players, measuring over 9 feet tall. He wore, notice the detail that he's described in, the detail that all of the Israelite army could quote word for word, because they studied every detail about Goliath, but they weren't going to fight him. It says he wore a bronze helmet and a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds. He wore bronze leggings. That's style for you. Bronze leggings. And he slung a bronze javelin over his back. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. An armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a huge shield. You know, the entire Israelite army, they could describe detail after detail after detail of the enemy, but they couldn't tell you much about God. David only referred to the enemy once in this passage. He refers to God 9 times. What you refer to is what you will defer to. What you refer to is what you will defer to. You defer power to what you refer to. So we've got to make sure we get our eyes off the enemy and get our eyes on the answer, get our eyes off the circumstances and situations that conspire against us, because we lose heart when that happens, and get our eyes on God. Because when you get your eyes on God, what you notice is how big God is and how small everybody else is. How big God is and how small everything else is. You see, focusing on the challenge or the size of the problem, all that does is it overwhelms our heart. So we lose heart when we're influenced by our negative perceptions or the negative perceptions of others. We lose heart by the circumstances that have conspired against us. And lastly, we lose heart when we get spooked by what's happening in the land. There's a point in history, in Israel's history in the Old Testament, when Babylon was coming under the judgment of God. God was about to destroy it. Only problem was his people were in the land, in exile, in slavery. God's about to bring his judgment. And then he says this in Jeremiah 51 to the people. He says, "Do not lose heart and do not be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. One rumor comes this year, another the next. Rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler." And so God says, don't be afraid of the rumors that you hear, the rumors of doom, the rumors of gloom, because God is with you. Don't be afraid from what you hear is happening and taking place in the land. Don't be ruled by what you see. So he's saying, don't lose heart because of the rumors in the land, because of the doom, and because of the gloom. Don't allow what you see to rule who you are. You know, the truth is God's with you wherever you go. God's with us in every season. Whether the financial world is collapsing or not, whether where you work, your business or whatever it is under pressure, God is with you. Whether you're in circumstances that are relentlessly attacking you, God is with you. The story of Joseph reminds us of this. Genesis 39 tells the story of Joseph when he was in prison. And it says he was taken and thrown into jail where the king's prisoners were locked up. But there in jail, God was still with Joseph. Wherever you are, God's with you. Wherever you are, God's with you. And it says he reached out in kindness, Joseph did, to him, and he put him on good terms with the head jailer. The head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners, and he ended up managing the whole operation. The head jailer gave Joseph free rein, never even checked in on him, because God was with him. Whatever he did, God made sure it worked out for the best. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, God will make all things work out for the good of those that love him and fear him and are called according to his purpose. Wherever you go, wherever life takes you, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation that conspires against you, God is with you, so don't lose heart. Don't lose heart because you face a circumstance or because you face a situation or because you hear rumors. Because you hear rumors of what's taking place in the land, don't allow it to affect your heart and to manipulate your emotions. Realize it for what it is. It's an enemy in the bushes, shaking it, snorting like a wild boar, trying to scare you, trying to frighten you, trying to stop you from touching the white fence and fulfilling the mission. The enemy's mission is to cause your mission to fail. His aim is to make us lose heart. I love the words of David, where David concludes this in Psalm 27 about the plan and the purposes of God. He said, "I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have failed to touch my little white fence unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. He said, I would have lost heart, but if I wait on him and I be of good courage, God will actually strengthen my heart. And so I say, wait on the Lord. You know, what we believe determines what we embrace. It is so, so important what you would believe. It's so important what we lean into. David said, I would have lost it. I would have lost it. I would have lost my heart. But I waited on God and my heart became stronger. And he believed and he determined. And what he believed determined what he actually received. Can I have our team come to stage, please? What he believed determined what he received. And he said, I believed in the goodness of God. I believed in the goodness of God. Here's my big question for everyone in the room today. My big question is this. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe about the things of life? What do you believe about the circumstances that seem to relentlessly come against you? What do you believe about the attacks that you feel? What do you believe about the rumors that you hear? What do you believe about the negative perceptions of others that will sometimes come into your space? Because what you believe is very, very important, because what you believe will determine what you embrace, and what you believe will determine what you receive. They say, are you going to believe that? Who are they? Who are they that say that? They say, we can't do it. They say, you're finished. They say, it's over. They say, it's hopeless. They say, you'll never make it. They'll say all kinds of things. The voice we need to listen to and wait on is the voice of God. In the middle of all that conversation that Moses was relaying to the children of Israel, when he said, they say, he goes on to say this. He says, but I say to you, be of good heart and be of good cheer, because the Lord thy God is with you. He is with you. And I want you to know today that no matter what the situation, circumstance, no matter what the sickness, disease, no matter what the rumor, no matter what the events, no matter what the history, no matter what you're giving airtime to in your own head right now, God is with you. And when God is with you, when God is with you, He will make all things work out for His good, for those that are loved and called according to His purpose. Would you stand to your feet with me, please, today? Close your eyes if you would. I wanted so much to share these thoughts today and journey next week into strengthening our heart, because I know the challenges of life. I'm not immune from them. I live with them like you live with them. I hear the bushes rattling. I hear the wild boar snorting. But I have my gun loaded, and I'm going to respond like the agents, not like the athletes. The athletes ran in fear because they weren't trained to deal with a circumstance they could not understand. Whereas the FBI, they were trained to deal with that fear response and that flight response. They were trained to stand and face. The Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can, all you can do is stand. Just stand. Because standing is a posture of victory. Standing is a posture of strength. Standing is a posture of I will not be afraid. Standing is a posture that I'm not done. Standing is a posture of I'm going to complete this mission. Standing is a posture of I will not give in. Standing is a posture of I will not lose heart. Standing is a posture of I know in whom I have believed. Standing is a posture that David took as he ran out to meet Goliath while everyone else cowered. Talk about bushes rattling and wild boar. He ran out to meet this Philistine champion, and he faced him with five little stones. He faced him with all the courage and the faith of the God of Israel and planted in him. And today you and I are like David, standing before the battles of life and the Goliaths of life, and focusing on Goliath and detailing him and recording every aspect about him, it's not going to help you. What's going to help you is to learn to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. And to have your heart strengthened. Strengthened. Because Because what you refer to leads to what you defer to. And I want us to defer all of our hope and all of our trust to God. And I want to make God bigger in my world. I want to make God bigger in my heart. I want to make God bigger in my eyes. I don't want to allow the enemy to increase and for God to decrease. I want God to increase. We've all got friends out there like Damien, my friend, who sadly ended his own life, his mission, because of the fear of life. We all need help. We all need strength. We all need to take heart today. So, Father, I pray for my friends and my family today. Lord, I pray for people here that have very real circumstances and very real situations, very real challenges that feel very much beyond them today. And I pray today that we'd be inspired by your word and empowered by your presence, that we'd be trained and equipped and empowered to respond to life, not with a fight and fright and flight response, but with a response of waiting on you, leaning into heaven, calling on heaven, and gaining heart and strengthening heart rather than losing heart. We look to you because you are the answer. You are the solution to every circumstance and every situation. So we speak your name. We speak your name over the rattling of every bush, over the grunt of the enemy, over the roar of this pretender, and we expose his agenda today, which is to derail our mission. So we put our runners on. We know there's danger. We know there's a swamp. We know there's things we've got to encounter. But I will not fear, I will not be afraid, will be the attitude of a believer. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they're with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When I hear the rattle of the bush, I will turn my eyes to heaven, and I'll pray for your strength and your help and your provision and protection. Teach us how to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want us to take a minute just to worship the Lord and finish before we're going to serve you communion in a few moments. We're going to just going to lean in and worship God, and then halfway through this song, I'll let our team know, and they're going to serve you communion. We're going to close with our communion service together. Come on, guys, let's sing that song.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now